So this is the last in our sermon series on what every Christian should be, and hopefully you've gained a little bit of information about not only what we are supposed to do, but who we are supposed to be as Christians. It is appropriate, I think, that we end with this one because it just seems like oftentimes we're given challenges and encouragements, but we're not given cautions, and yet the Bible is very clear that we need to be given cautions. When I was a boy, we would travel to my grandparents' home in Wisconsin from Iowa, usually for Thanksgiving. Some years they'd come to us. And after the celebration, we would get prepared for the seven-hour trip back home. And inevitably, we would say our goodbyes. And before we would leave, my grandmother, who, by the way, never had a driver's license, never learned how to drive a car, never wanted to learn how to drive a car, she would always tell my dad, "Be careful." Now, she knew enough about driving that there was all kinds of rules that you were supposed to abide by, but she didn't have time to go into all of those rules, so she would just kind of lump them all together by saying, "Be careful." Everyone uses that phrase. We all talk about being careful. We know what it means to be careful. When a person is headed for danger, or when we are headed for danger, oftentimes, people implore us to pay attention, to take heed, to avoid mistakes. I mean, all of these are kind of similar phrases to be careful. Wouldn't it be nice, though? I mean, I was thinking about this as I was preparing. Wouldn't it be nice if nobody ever had to tell another person, "Be careful"? Wouldn't that be nice? If we never had to worry about whether they were going to make a wise choice, if we never had to worry about whether they were going to watch out for danger or if they were going to obey the rules, Tom and Tracy would be out of a job. The fact that we do need to be careful, though, is one of the reasons why we have people. It is job security, isn't it? Because people have a tendency to not be careful. Some may call it youthful exuberance. The Bible has other words for it, and this is why Scripture often urges caution and carefulness as a part of our character, not just that we are supposed to do careful things, but it is something that we are supposed to be. Our text for the message is found in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, and before we dig into that specific verse, I want to tell you a little bit about the context. We always need to kind of do that. Chapter 4, verse 1 begins with a very important word. It's a word that we've talked about. It's the word "therefore." It is a conclusion word. Whenever you see that, you need to look ahead, or behind, actually. What was going on? In chapter 2, if you go back in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, Paul tells them, "So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it." So he's establishing a warning way back in chapter 2. Paul urges his readers to pay careful attention to what they have heard so that they do not drift away from it. Now, I'll be honest with you, that seems to be a theme throughout all of the Bible. People know the truth and they drift away from it. Why? Because they don't pay attention. Because they don't take care. They're not very careful when it comes to the gospel message. They have heard that Jesus was the Messiah or is Messiah. They have heard the testimony that God came in the human form of Jesus, and by God's grace and through his great mercy, Jesus died on the cross. They know all of this. They've heard the testimonies about this, that Jesus died on the cross, that his own blood was the atoning sacrifice for everyone. They have heard the truth. I'm guessing every one of you in this room have heard that truth more than once. Unfortunately, people have a bad habit. We don't listen to the truth. Blah, 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 blah. There's that preacher again, talking about hell and God and heaven and that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. Our fallen nature encourages us to rebel when other people are warning us, or worse, to plow ahead thinking that the warnings are for other people. I've used this illustration illustration before, but it applies again today. I was in St. Cloud, Minnesota, back in a former life. And I was in a Macy's store in the mall, and there was an escalator. And on the escalator was a sign that was about this big that said, "No strollers on the escalator." You guys know what a stroller is. You have a baby in there. So here come two ladies, both of them with strollers. They've got all kinds. It was about this time of the year. They had all kinds of Christmas shopping. They had bags. They had babies in the strollers. And one gal, she just marches right up to that escalator. And the sign even said, "Please use elevator." So she's coming toward this escalator. The other one says, "There's a sign that says that you can't do this. We need to find the elevator." And the first woman says, "Oh, that sign is just for people who can't do it safely." Wow! Nobody can do it safely. That's why they have the warning sign. But people don't want to pay attention to the warning signs. Blah, 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 blah. That doesn't apply to me. That may be okay for other people, but it's not going to apply to me. Here's another example. Several years ago, I was helping with a mock car crash. Oftentimes, police departments, fire departments, first responders, they'll put on a mock car crash, usually somewhere around prom at a school, and they get together. The students are in the stands. Oftentimes, there is a speaker that talks to the kids because maybe that speaker has had a child that was killed by a drunk driver during prom. And that was the situation in this predicament or in this scenario. I was in the bleachers, and I overheard a 17-year-old boy who had been driving for not even a year brag to his friends, "This is so lame. No one's going to tell me how I can live my life." And I just was stunned. Here you have a person willing to be very vulnerable and talk about a very painful thing that happened in their life because their teenage child was killed in a drunk driving accident, and you have somebody in the stands who says, "That doesn't apply to me. Blah, 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 blah. This is lame." Warnings are for stupid people. And we have that attitude. We're not fond of having people tell us that our behaviors are risky or dangerous. We think we've got this. We think we can handle this. We think we can do whatever we want. And this is the same thing that the Apostle Paul is dealing with in the spiritual world. Too many people think that they don't need the blood of Jesus in order to be saved. Too many people think that they have it all figured out. They don't need the death and the burial and the resurrection in order to be redeemed. They can figure out their salvation on their own with their own knowledge and their own understanding. They don't need to be careful about the gospel, the truth, because I've got this. And then Paul goes on into chapter 3. And he uses the Old Testament as a prime example of people that did not pay attention to the voice of God. He talks about the Israelites and how they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because, as it says in verse 10, God was angry with that generation, and he said, "Their hearts always go astray, and they have known my ways." Always is a big word. Do you think that God would say that about us as human beings? Our hearts always go astray. We hear the truth, we know the truth, we've been taught the truth, we don't follow the truth because our hearts always go astray. And the result was that an entire generation did not receive the promised land. And as you go through chapter 3, he talks about that fact. And at the end of chapter 3, he says, "So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief." So we've had two chapters so far. They didn't heed the warnings, and the consequences were dire. And now Paul begins chapter 4, verse 1, with the word therefore? And he says, be careful. Basically, that the same thing does not happen to you. The same thing that happened to the Israelites, I don't want it to happen to you. And I imagine in my mind, Paul getting right in my face saying, look at what happened to the Israelites. Don't let that happen to you. Be careful. And sometimes that's what it takes to get our attention. You got to get right in somebody's face. Now I get it. We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And the Apostle Paul basically says, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you is found to have fallen short of it. But mistakes are going to happen. And we are called to be careful. We are called to be careful because when a friend sees that we are about to choose poorly, we need to listen to their advice because it's good to learn from our mistakes. It's better to learn from other people's mistakes because then we don't have to go through that. But I get it. A lot of people say, if I don't make mistakes, then I don't learn anything. Well, yes, you can. You can learn from other people's mistakes, but we don't want to be told that. And yet, as the Bible proclaims, we are called to warn one another, especially about sin. In James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20, James says, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So instead of being angry when people are trying to warn us and telling us to be careful, we should actually be giving thanks to God for the fact that they have loved us enough to be concerned for us. Because it's biblical. We may not like it. We may not like it when people tell us that we're headed down a wrong path or we're headed in a dangerous situation or we're participating in some risky behaviors. And we might not even think that it's our job to warn somebody about that because, hey, they do them, I'll do me. Nothing could be further from the truth. It is our responsibility. I don't have to judge their eternal salvation to let them know that the Bible has already said that their plans and their direction is it's headed for destruction. So instead of being angry, the emphasis of the rest of chapter 4, as Paul talks about it, is to describe that there is a continual promised land that is available, even for Christians. We don't call it Canaan. We call it heaven. And it's still at risk. You know, there are all kinds of people who don't want to believe that that heaven is not going to be for everybody. They try to teach that all roads go to heaven. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Guess what? You can be sincerely wrong. But you're still sincere. The road to heaven, the Bible says, is narrow. Few are going to find it. The pathway to hell is a broad highway. Nobody cares what you do on that road. You can drive as fast as you want on that road. Unfortunately, not a lot of people listen to the Spirit's guidance or other Christians that God is putting in our path because Satan has convinced us of the same lie that he used to convince Adam and Eve. And you know what that lie was? You can be like God. And when we believe that we can be like God, when we believe that we can make choices that are outside of God's will, when we believe that God doesn't have our best interest at heart, that we understand and we need to use our logic in light of an eternal God who is beyond our comprehension, now all of a sudden God says, okay, that's your choice. God is not going to make anybody go to heaven, but he's going to offer it. And he's going to warn people. If you're not careful as a Christian, you will not enter into the rest. And so once again, in verse 11 of chapter 4, Paul says, "Let us therefore," there's that word again, "make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience." My friends, Paul is very concerned. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, he talks about how we are to stand firm. It's the cover of your bulletins, by the way. Stand firm, let nothing move you, and be careful that you don't fall. You see, Paul wants that character trait of carefulness to just infuse us. Let nothing move you. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, "Stand firm. Give yourselves always fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." In other words, live in the character of carefulness and caution. It's not easy. We know that living in carefulness is not easy. But the rewards that are promised will bring us peace and rest rather than guilt and anxiety. And I don't know about you, but I don't think I want to live in guilt and anxiety. I don't think any of us do. I don't think any of us want to live with regrets, but I do think that we would love to live in peace. And the Bible gives us a way to do that. Be careful. Pay attention to the warnings. Don't just treat them as so much noise. And they're all in God's Word. You don't have to take my word for it. Just open up the pages of the Bible and see it for yourself.